Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and I'm joined in studio by two people from the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team. Melissa Davis has been a guest on my show before talking about this issue about making the Houghton area more energy efficient, part of the Georgetown University Efficiency Prize, going up for that $5 million. And it seemed like a good idea to come back to this subject, get an update to see where we are, where we can go from here. And joining Melissa as well as Media Coordinator Marcia Goodrich. Welcome to Copper Country Today.
Hi, Rick.
Melissa, how you doing?
I'm well this morning, thanks.
Good. Thanks for coming back on. I know it's been a few months since we had you on, and you wanted to tackle a few things and bring the program a little further along. And how has that effort gone?
Oh, it's really exciting. We have this great team of really hard workers in 8 areas of coordination. And, excuse me, I think that we've come up with our ground plan for the next year and a half. So that's good.
All right. How's the sort of the enthusiasm getting volunteers on board and ready to chug ahead?
It seems to be rolling along. It's really, really, I'm grateful every day for being able to work with this team. It's been like a magnet that's attracted people that like to work really hard, and hopefully we'll continue to attract people that like to work really hard and like to help each other out.
Well, speaking of people that like to work really hard, you picked up Marcia along the way to handle some of your, you know, media contacts. Of course, you've had a lot of experience that with your past history with Michigan Tech, and of course, that's how we've known each other over the years. And so this was something you wanted to jump on board with.
Oh, absolutely. After I retired, I found myself with some extra time, and heat seemed like the perfect place to spend it. I've always felt that energy efficiency is one of the, it's not only important for individuals, but it's important for the planet. And I don't think that you could find a single issue that could mean more at an individual level or at a level for our entire society.
Now, this whole Georgetown University Energy Prize thing that came along, and it's been kind of out there for the last couple of years, and, you know, Houghton's been competing to get to the step we are right now. For those that maybe are listening that, you know, they've maybe heard of it, but they're not sure what it is, or they haven't heard about it, let's bring them up to speed and talk about, you know, what is this thing and why is it important to our area?
The Georgetown University Energy Prize, I think it got started about 3 years ago. They're creating the preconditions for it, and it is, as you said, it's a $5 million winner-take-all prize awarded to the community that saves the most electricity and heat. That is among one of about 5 judging criteria. So the actual, natural gas and electricity consumption that we reduce is 25% of the criteria. There's another 10% in replicability and another like 15% in education and another 10% in innovation. And I'm not sure all these are adding up to 100 because I don't have them exactly memorized. And then there's a overall quality and success. And so I think that the prize is really going to be awarded to the community that not only does reduce its gas and electricity consumption the most, but also starts to originate programs that can be replicated between communities with populations between 30,000 and 300,000. And Houghton County is one of 50 contestants. So there isn't a huge amount of competition that we're facing because the prize was promoted, but I think a lot of people didn't find out about it before the deadline, so there's only 50 communities in the country that are competing.
Now, for all of those categories, did they take a sort of a benchmark exam to know where we were when this whole thing started?
No. I mean, well, the utilities, which we have to thank SEMCO and UPCO and Ontonagon REA, they all provided the base level of electricity and gas consumption for the prize. They took a benchmark of 2013 and 2014. So there's been a pretty phenomenal amount of cooperation to gather that data and to submit it to the actual competition. And that, again, was on the part of all the heat coordinators, that Marcia among them, that spread out and tracked down all of the townships and found out the account numbers so that we could go back to the utilities. And I should back up and say that the competition is residential and municipal building use. So So we tracked down those account numbers, and UPCO and SEMCO got the baseline data and Ontonagon REA, excuse me, and now every quarter we're going to be submitting our use and then be comparing it to those 2 years, and we're going to be submitting it every quarter through the end of 2016.
We owe a debt of gratitude to the governmental units and schools that provided that data, too. It was quite a bit of work on everybody's part, and it shows a lot of support for HEAT and the local community.
Well, that would actually be my first question for you, Marshall, was just, you know, as somebody who's, you know, tasked with getting the word out and contacting people, you know, we live in an area where there's a lot of people who are energy conscious, you know, that they, you know, want to, you know, do whatever we can do that's better for the environment. But then there are also those who, it's hard to get that going through a brick wall to get them to budge. But your part of your job is to get the word out there so it's, you know, sort of receptive to people to actually make a change. How has their receptibility been?
That's a really good question. I think that overall, you're absolutely right. The community is conscious of energy use. But something we sometimes forget is that there are a lot of people in the area that are living near the poverty line and are not part of the community that a lot of us are aware of. And what Melissa has been doing is going out to hardware stores and actually talking to people one-on-one to provide them LED lights and other low-cost or low-energy use
products,
yes. And basically, you know, almost pounding the pavement to reach the people who need this the most. It's really impressive. You can save a heck of a lot of money by going from an incandescent bulb to an LED bulb, but a lot of people can't afford the $5 or $8 or $10 that it costs to replace those bulbs, even if they do last 20 years.
And that's, you know, really something that's unique about this type of a contest or a competition, is because it's not just saying, okay, well, our big energy users, the hospital and the universities, and if they would just simply do better, then the community is going to win. No, this actually comes down to the, you know, sort of the grassroots, the individuals all making little changes that will add up to a whole lot.
That's a big part of what the Georgetown University Energy Prize is about. It would be wonderful to win $5 million, but the real goal of this competition and what the real goal, I think, fundamentally of HEAT is to save this community money by reducing their energy use. If we win or if we don't win, Houghton County is still going to be a big winner.
Yeah, that's good. Now, if we do win the money, we cut that up and everybody gets a check. I mean, how much am I getting get?
Okay, so before we hit the quarterfinalist stage, Houghton, our team had to develop a Houghton County energy plan. And this plan is typically written by the actual, our governing units, and in the rest of our competition, the 49 other contestants, they have energy managers and energy programs, okay? So Houghton County doesn't, as by and large, and so some environmental policy students at Michigan Tech came up with our energy plan, and so part of that plan is talking about what we're going to do with the $5 million if we win it. And right now it's set up that it would go to the Keweenaw Community Foundation and the set up a trust for it, and then the interest on that would be used in no interest loans to different businesses and people that want to make energy efficiency retrofits. So those kinds of improvements to a building usually aren't the kind of money that people want to put forward, even though they will pay for themselves, or excuse me, they don't have that chunk of money that they can put towards that usually right away. So that could be a really great service. But that all said, there is wiggle room. And if we as a group somehow figure out that we would like to do something differently with that if we were to win it, that would be all right, too. That's allowed.
And you bring up a good point, too, I think, about, you know, some of the big changes they do involve an initial cost, which scares a lot of people away. There's mm-hmm. been seminars recently on how to go solar or how to use geothermal energy. And you go there and you're interested. They tell you how much money you can save in your energy bills. And so you're excited and you go and they say, okay, all you got to do is put up this amount of money and you can do it. And everybody goes, well, wait a minute. I came here to save money, not to spend money.
Right.
And I know there's efforts even with Houghton County with PATH to try to make it, some ability to get some of that money back, exactly how the program works. I'm still learning about it, but it sounds like you can basically get a loan to pay those costs to, install solar panels and then pay off that loan over time. Now, they're in the discussion phases. There's been people speaking at the Houghton County board meetings. But yeah, there's been, some move to get those. And I hope I got the right name on it.
I think you're thinking of PACE.
PACE. There you go. I said PATH. Yeah, PACE.
Property Assessed Clean Energy. Yeah, that's you have a pretty good sense of how that works. And that's actually going to be going before the commission tonight at 5. So, and I think that is another competition metric, or the communities that bring PACE on board, Georgetown likes that. So, but just to continue to explain a little bit more about that, the way you would save the money is that you would get this money that you could use for renewables or for energy efficient retrofits, and it's really it's aimed at commercial and industrial, but then, as you get the decrease in your utilities, you have this attached to your tax bill. So you will pay a little bit more on your taxes twice a year. And then you'd see the difference between what you're paying for your utilities and then what you'd pay for your taxes. So it attaches the retrofit and the bill for that to your taxes. So that's why it takes a municipal, some legislation to make that happen. And it looks like it might be about to.
Okay. Yeah. I've been trying to track it and trying to learn about it. Mm-hmm. Did a news story about it a couple of months ago when I first heard about it. And I was aware, tonight, this being a Tuesday, the show airing on a Sunday at the Board of Commission. They'll be talking about it. So, maybe we'll later, we'll have some more information about that. Mm-hmm. This summer, not necessarily because I wanted to go without, but had an interesting home experiment. When you and I last talked, we were talking about different ways that individuals in their homes can make a difference. And you of course, you've been very active with the LED light bulb sign-ups at the hardware store in Calumet. Oh, you're also at Bridgefest as well. And so, people have been coming out and taking advantage of that, at least I hope, in great numbers.
Mm-hmm. It's been good.
So at home, my electric bill was running somewhere around $150 a month. But two computers, usually always on, multiple televisions, PlayStations, a lot of things that were going. And so when I moved, I actually moved in the spring, didn't start cable at home. So now there's no need to turn the television on. Listen to the radio, a little box radio, largely during the day, listen to my ball games and stuff on that. So now my electric bills are coming at $35 a month.
Really?
Because there's been, two flat screen televisions. The only time we turn them on is when we rent movies. And, of course, in this business, I work a ton. And my daughter is in school, and she's also in a lot of camps during the summer. So she's not home all day, watching television either. So it was, not only did we save the, $175 we were spending on the cable and internet there, but now, with nothing running all day long, what are we paying electricity for? Well, the refrigerator's still plugged in, but with nothing on, you'd be amazed how far that goes down. And that happened simply because we got rid of the cable and found other ways to entertain ourselves that didn't require having electricity running all the time.
And I'll bet you still have a full, rich life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I use, go to the video store when it's time to rent movies. You can rent most TV shows on DVD now. Mm-hmm. So if you have a favorite show, and I'm never home to watch it when it airs anyway, so I watch them on DVD. So yeah, with mm-hmm. will I always want to not have cable? No, winter's coming. You know, but at least during the summer, it's been a nice thing. And it's also been great saving that much money, because we're talking about more than $200, maybe $250 a month saved, because it's going to go without cable for the summer.
Wow, eh? That's a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you do get that back, you might want to put it, you might want to switch an outlet, get your outlet switched, or get it on the power strip and be sure to turn it off at night. I mean, that's 12 hours or, you know, 10 hours that it's not going to be drawing. Because it's just that phantom draw that's pulling away at that electricity when you're not using it, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've heard that a flat screen television uses 70% of its electricity while it's not on.
Huh.
You know, because it's constantly, you're right, it's constantly pulling. If it's got a little red light, or if it's keeping track on a clock or something. If you notice, every time you turn on your cable box, the memory is still there. If you've ever had your power go out and it takes a second for the cable box to come back on, and it says to be announced on all of your cable channels and stuff, and you're waiting for it, it's because once the power goes out, it loses its memory for a few minutes. Well, in order to keep that memory, it has to constantly draw power so that it's, you know, always operating. It doesn't have to start up when you turn it on. It's sort of in a standby mode that whole time, waiting for you to turn it on.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to watch TV in the morning, you'd turn your TV on with your coffee pot. And let the TV warm up while it was making your coffee.
Right, slight habit changes.
Well, I certainly didn't want to tell you about all my ideas on how to save.
Hey, you save have great ideas, Rick.
Energy. Let's kind of throw it back to both of you on, you know, what are some other things that maybe you've come up with or people have suggested that, you know, to get involved and help make this happen.
Go ahead.
Okay. As a team, we figured out that we would like to educate the area about energy efficiency and renewable energies. And so our game plan is let me backtrack. We have this really great exhibit, and it's a 9-point energy efficiency, homeowner energy efficiency exhibit. And the Keweenaw Community Foundation Youth Advisory Council, they gave us some money about 3 years ago, and the woodshop students at CLK built this really, really great little exhibit. We're going to be having that at the Carnegie Museum for a month this fall. And basically, we're going to have a heat week and a heat fall event, which we're working on a name for, and we hope to engage as much of as many of the businesses as we can, but also have this event that people can come, you know, this fall event with cider and donuts, that people can come learn about all the ways that they can tighten up their houses and explore avenues of renewable generation at the individual level. And then we'll have this exhibit set up, and we'll have this online scheduling program too, because different businesses are stepping up to the plate saying, well, we'd like to volunteer, we'd like to bid 5 houses and do 5 houses over the next year and a half, as an example. And we also have different service organizations that are also stepping up to the plate and saying, well, we think we'd like to help you. We can help you lead these winterizations. So we're going to have this exhibit that people can go through, because once they go through this exhibit, when they land on somebody's doorstep, it's absolutely like a half hour that gets saved, because then you don't have to show people exactly what they're doing. And once again, I want to say these are non-skilled labor skills, so you don't have to have any knowledge whatsoever to be able to do these things. You just sort of need somebody to show you how in a lot of cases. Then after that, like around Thanksgiving, we'll be launching a year-long winterization juggernaut behemoth rollout of asking volunteers to volunteer 3 hours 3 times and going through houses and tightening up the houses of our income qualified population, and making just going through people's houses and tightening them up and saving them money and making them more comfortable. So we have already banked somewhere around $8,000 in just materials. So I'm hoping that'll be sort of this market pull that we can attract the labor. And our ask is small. It's just 3 hours, 3 times, and go through the exhibit for an hour. So 10 hours over the next year and a half, and everybody benefits. So there's a lot to be said for going somewhere and helping other people out for a while.
Now, earlier you mentioned that your goals was to reduce natural gas usage and, you know, overall just helping us reduce our cost for those things. So if somebody's using an alternative form of, you know, heat, and I know it's July, but winter's coming. This is where we live. So we can talk about heating your home, and you know, you have a little bit of time to prepare. Now, I know of people who use, you know, other things other than Semco gas. You know, they either use wood, propane,
yeah,
you know, so heating oil, or a combination in order to sort of just across the board try to lower things down. I had a neighbor where I used to live where he would cut 2 years worth of wood, but he said he kept his house at 75 degrees during the winter time in the combination of the wood and the heat, and he had to because of health problems, had to keep it warm. But he also he didn't have super high energy bills like I was having because my house wasn't very well winterized. I didn't want to cut wood for two weeks though either. But when somebody's doing an alternative form, does that help, or is it just spread the problem out if you're using heating oil, propane, wood? Because if you're not using natural gas, you're burning wood.
What do you mean spread the problem out?
The cost and the if you burn anything, you hurt the environment a little bit.
Well, back in the day we used to just call it burning wood. Mm. Now we call it biofuel. And yes, there are some issues with burning wood, but it's considered a renewable energy source. So that's how we like to look at it, and it reduces your use of fossil fuels. And in terms of overall energy use, there's nothing you can reduce your need to burn wood along with your need for fuel oil or propane or electric heat by tightening up your house, like Melissa suggests. Put in insulation, plug the holes, and a lot of this is very inexpensive and something you can do yourself. But I think sometimes people think that they can't do it because they're not a contractor or they didn't learn on their dad's knee, but these are very simple to use skills that can make your house a lot more comfortable, even if you do burn wood.
Mm. Also, just back to that woody biomass carbon question, there's this thing called the carbon cycle where for every tree you cut down, you're going to be planting another one. So it pulls that CO2 out of the atmosphere. And what I found out is that younger trees, like say you pull down an older tree and you plant four, there are like four little seedlings. Those four seedlings are going to pull more CO2 out of the atmosphere than that one mature tree too. So there's a couple of considerations that I've been learning from people that are in the industry that also, you know, help you see that burning wood is not, it's not really that bad.
Destroy the forest.
Now, if somebody is wants to do more and they want to, get started on, both saving energy in their home during the summer and preparing for winter, where can they go to get more information and learn more?
Well, if you go to energizehoughton.org, that'll give you a good idea of what we're about as a team. And then on the volunteer page, once again, 3 hours, three times. And if you have handy skills at all, we really want you. And then if you're interested in seeing what you might be eligible to receive, the income qualification guidelines are very generous. And right now, as Marcia said, we're working on our LED program, and we're able to supply 5 to 8 LEDs to families in the area and houses and single people as well, as long as you have an UPCO account. Also, there's a refrigerator replacement program happening too. So if your refrigerator is 10 years old or older and your income qualified, you can also go to newpowertour.com for both the LEDs and more information. And the income qualification guidelines are on newpowertour/LED program. And you can just sign up there and provide a copy of your UPCO bill along with some sort of proof of income, and we will get you signed up and get some good materials your way. And you can also go there to, if you're interested in having some help winterizing your house, that's the place to go sign up for that as well.
Just to clarify, people get a free refrigerator.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's a $500 value because the new refrigerators are, they're so much more energy efficient that these guys will bring you a new refrigerator and take your old one away. And that's part of it. They take your old one away and destroy it because they're so bad.
Our guests this segment have been Marcia Goodrich and Melissa Davis from the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team. Ladies, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Rick.
Copper Country
Today.
It's
been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.